right? So I'm reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 down to verse 26. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem that you do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?"
"Title of my offering, such as it is slow to believe. And the verse that we focus on is verse, obviously, 25 of Luke's gospel there that Martin, she just read for us. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken." Let me begin by asking you a question. If Jesus stood in front of you and said, "Good morning," how foolish and how slow you are, how would you react? Well, first of all, nobody would be expecting the words like that to come from Jesus. But this is precisely what he said to these men. "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken." But we know where the story goes. But let me ask you a question. If you had been traveling that road that morning, having seen Jesus crucified, and here's something of an empty tomb, but you're walking away from Jerusalem, how would you respond if Jesus had asked you that question? Indeed, let me put it this way to us. If you were to put yourself into those two men's shoes, how would you respond? The word is out there that Jesus has risen. Let me give you a few choices. "Sounds too good to be true." I think that would be a response of many people. "Sounds too good to be true." Another response could be simply this: "Would love to believe that it was true, but being realistic, what chances of anyone being raised from the dead? What are the chances of anyone being raised from the dead? And apart from Lazarus that Jesus raised, generally speaking, people who are dead don't be raised. So we'd love to believe it, but realistically, the chances of anyone be raised from the dead is very slim. I would say in some cases, downright impossible." So you see, put yourself in their shoes, and you can see where they were struggling. Next one. They said, you'll see in a minute, we'll look at it again, about, "I don't know who to believe or what to believe." The women had come and said, "Look, we met angels there, and the angels have said he is risen." The disciples didn't believe the ladies, they thought it was, you know, grief-stricken and all kinds of things happening to them. So I don't know who or what to believe. That would be a good answer, wouldn't it? And you'll see that in the passage as well. They struggled. We had hoped, but now we do not know. And the last one then would be the more realistic person that you'd meet, and logical, and they would say probably this. I must face the facts. He was crucified, he died. So whatever it was all about, it is well and truly over now. That's the very reason why they were coming back from Jerusalem to go to Emmaus. And that would have been a fairly accurate of description of what was going on in their minds and their responses to the message that Jesus has been raised. Sounds too good to be true. We'd love to believe it, but realistically speaking, people don't rise from the dead. I know what you saw, I know what you said, but I don't know what to believe really. So I'm facing the facts. He was crucified, he died. So whatever it was about following him, it is now truly over. That's where he meets up with them. Can you see? If I was there, I would be struggling with the same thing. And I think in many ways, if we're honest, most people would be as well, you know? Because it was no easy thing to actually believe, was it? You know, I mean, it was new to their experience and they were grief-stricken as well. It's into that context he gives these words, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that was written. So in his situation, the way Jesus looks at it is, though they are grief-stricken, though they are confused, all of that, where they're at, in his opinion, is that they're foolish. I mention that simply because many people do not believe or do not expect if you go to Jesus that you can get such a direct word from him. I have got some down through the years. And that is a direct word. Now, it's well-intentioned and it will bring them out. But nevertheless, it's not great to be told, you're a fool. And you're as slow as we can get. I mean, they're not exactly compliments, are they? I don't think they are. I don't think they were meant to be either. Anyway, okay, so we see that's how we would roughly have responded, and maybe there's other pieces. Maybe you have one more person, there was one other response. I knew it, I believed it all along, and I'm right. I don't think you get anyone to say that. I don't think people might say today, but put him in the situation, I don't believe that would have been said. All right, we'll move on. The consequences of being slow to believe. What were the consequences? And we see a few here. You see here, in I think it's verse 17, they stood still, their faces downcast. That was the first thing that you see in it. And you go down to verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What was the consequences of being slow to believe? Well, there was this. There was discouragement. There was disappointment. And there was a walking away from it all. That was the consequence. It wasn't unbelief, but it was slow to believe. And so their discouragement, disappointment, and the sense of, well, it's time to go back home. All of that was the consequence of being slow to believe. The second consequence was confusion. Because then they said, verse 22, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, but said, we did not see him. So there was a measure of confusion. I don't know who or what to believe. So you know what they were doing? They were quitting. That is what they were doing. Disappointed, discouraged, and walking away. Because when somebody dies and you're following, death is literally the end in that situation. And nobody could do what Jesus had been doing. So there was nobody actually to replace him in that way. So once he died, the movement was over as far as everyone was concerned. So that was the consequence. No, they did not know at that stage that their problem was that they were slow to believe. As far as they were concerned, that their response was quite a normal, natural human response. Wouldn't you agree? And yet the Lord is saying the reverse to them. He's saying, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. In all the years that I've been doing ministry, and doing it an awful long time, the two biggest obstacles to overcome are discouragement and disappointment. No, fear of sickness is my biggest one, right? But that only comes occasionally. Hopefully it won't come for a while, but nevertheless. But the other ones, disappointment and discouragement, are the two major things. What encourages me is that's precisely what happened to our two men coming from Emmaus, and they were struggling with the very same thing. So my point here is simply following the Lord at times can lead you in that situation. And often the consequence is that you have no idea what's going on and we are extremely slow to believe. I think many people can identify with those things. I can as well. And even the people walk away very disheartening, very discouraging at times. For all of us. But very much a reality. So that was the consequence. Anyway, we move on. When you analyze it, though, and see what's happening, one of the questions I ask myself is that Jesus came and he let him speak. He let them tell him everything that had happened. I don't know how they felt afterwards, having relived the whole thing. He let him and he drew him out and let him say about what they want to say about the grief. And you see in verse 16, about Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed, before God and all the people. And then he says about the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, on the third day, it's not the third day since all this took place. So they're relating the effects to him and saying, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what happens? But when he speaks to them, he tells them they have a twofold problem. They're foolish and they are slow. My question is, could that be our problem as well? We believe some truths, but not all. Those men walked away believing God. They were devout men of God. And so, but where it had gone wrong for them was they thought that Jesus was the Messiah, and now that he had died, their hopes had gone with it. So my question is, often can the disappointment and the discouragement and the disheartenment, all of that, can that be related at times to the fact that we can be foolish and we can be extremely slow to believe? Because there lay the problem for them. It was as simple as that. No, let me tell you what we would expect Jesus to say, and of course he didn't say this. He could have said to them, look, I know how disheartened and discouraged you are. After all, you're only human, and to expect somebody to be raised from the dead would be totally illogical. That is what you expect him to say, isn't it? Understanding, reflecting on human nature and where we're at. But he wants to actually heal them and give them hope. So in order to do that, he is now diagnosing the situation. Slow to believe. Now, there's an awful lot of difference between knowing stuff and actually believing it. Their problem was that they didn't know. I think as I look at it, there was more to be known than they actually had realized. So could that be our problem at times with disheartenment and discouragement? We believe some truths, but not all. I think that's a very common problem, to be perfectly honest with you. Another way of saying the same thing is, we have no difficulty in believing some truths, but we're very slow to believe others. Would you like an example? And this is a thing that I have wrestled with. We have no trouble whatsoever and utterly convinced that Jesus forgives. If you confess your sin and you repent of it, he'll forgive you. True? But he only heals occasionally. So we can guarantee if you go to him for healing, you're going to get it. But we're absolutely sure if you go to him for forgiveness, it's going to be there. If I believe that, I end up following a God who totally forgives, but only heals very occasionally. And there lies a dilemma. I believe both. But how God chooses to act in any given situation was going to test my faith one way or the other. So you see, it's not as easy. What we do with truth like that is we believe the first half and we just leave the second half. And look, I can't answer for how the Lord works in certain situations. I can't. And why in some cases people are healed, in other places they're not. I do not have the answers to those things. But I genuinely believe both are true. Until the Lord asked me this question. Do you trust me? I know I believe when I trust. When I don't trust, I know I have truth that I have yet to apply and actually believe. But the truth is in there. But I haven't trusted that level of truth yet. Does that make sense? I can know something and know it well and have struggled trusting. Next thing I'll say about this passage is it shows us something that we can all relate to, is the workings of God can bring tremendous joy, tremendous hope, and also tremendous sadness. That is in there. I think that's a pattern that we've all experienced to some extent. There's been great joy. There has been a time tremendous hope, and we'll admit to that. And there has been. But there's also been times of trials, disappointment, discouragement, of where life itself was pulled apart for us. And we had no idea what's happening. I think passages like this encourage us. Because it shows that those lads had to do the very same thing. Especially they just met Jesus a different way. So do I have trouble believing some truths? Yes, I do. Other truths, no bother to me. But some I really struggle with. And that is where these men were at. They believed truth, but they struggled to believe beyond what made logical sense. And we can all identify with that. That is something that goes on. Anyway, we move on. You might say, how relevant is this passage to us? Well, I suppose the first answer really is relevant because it's Easter Sunday morning, so we have a passage that is some way related to it anyway. But I'm not talking about it in that way. I'm asking is, how many people do you know who have walked away from the church because of disappointment, discouragement, and disillusion? So many of all denominations right across this country have walked away because of some of that. It's not the only reason, but it is a significant reason. Because they got disappointed, disillusioned, and discouraged that It wasn't the way they had hoped to be. It wasn't the way that they had believed. And in some way, Jesus has let them down. I think that is quite significant. An awful lot of churches are empty, or partially empty, because of that. People have just said, I trusted him, I walked with him, and he let me down, and things just fell apart, and things went from bad to worse. I'm going no further. I'm heading out of Jerusalem, and I'm going to Emmaus. Relevant in that way, yes. Next question is, how many people do you know who have stopped attending church because they don't no longer know who to believe or what to believe? And it's here in the passage. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find the body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. So they didn't know who or what to believe. And that's the first Easter Sunday morning. How many people have left churches, even churches like ours, because they no longer know what or who to believe? Truthfully, I hadn't seen that in this passage, only when I was looking at it yesterday. How relevant it is. People being disappointed and disillusioned with God because he didn't produce what they were hoping for, and people being utterly confused, not knowing who or what to believe. So they just stop going. That describes a huge portion of our population this morning. And so you can see how relevant it is. Though what we read about an event thousands of years ago, the very same thing is happening right in front of us. Quite remarkable, isn't it? Foolish and slow to believe was the problem then. Could it still be the problem today? There's other factors in it. We grant you that, right? But could it be that people walked away and gave up too quickly? Which was, may I say, the case in this situation, only that Jesus stepped in. They were walking away too quickly. And they were allowing slowness to believe, to dishearten them, discourage them, and be the means of where they said, that's it. I think some of that is going on in people's lives. That they are allowing some of that. And I don't say that in judgment, but merely in an observation way. All right, move on. Solution. What do you do if you're slow to believe? Now, these two men, it was quite amazing what they had, because when Jesus said to them, verse 25, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? So he's shown them the full picture and what was involved. And then he began with Moses and he explained the whole thing to them, the plan of salvation. How many of us have asked Jesus, give us a Bible lesson like that, please? Let us be taught by you in the very same way that you come in here and say, Pat, have a break. I'll do the talking. I don't know how many times, I don't know if you have asked for it. I certainly have asked for it anyway. Lord, would you reveal your truth to me to the very same way as you did to those two men? It would be wonderful, but they got it. Whatever I have got, which is, I would say, is crumbs, you're getting what I have. But it is nothing like what they actually got on the morning. And so they got, Jesus gave him his perspective based on scripture, and indeed, that obviously was going to change him. But for us, the chances of Jesus coming like he did on that road, it may happen. You can never say no because God is God. But most likely, it may not happen. Just in case he did, I don't want to be wrong next time having to eat my words, you know, just in case he did show up. But generally speaking, those kind of things have been a kind of a once-off, you know. So anyway, solutions. If our problem is slowness to believe, well, foolishness and slowness to believe, then a few things need to happen, especially to those who got disappointed and who are disillusioned and who are utterly confused. In a word, they need to encounter the risen Jesus in a new way, precisely like those men did on that day. It doesn't have to be a carbon copy of that, but it has to be some kind of an encounter, because they have the knowledge. I think that's part of the solution. If churches are ever going to be full in this country again, and there's ever going to be turned around, there's going to have to be a fresh encounter with the risen Jesus. Because what has been up to date is no longer going to work. I think you'll agree with that at least. Something fresh needs to happen from even God's side, to be honest with you. That's one of the solutions. Second one is simply this. Slow to believe, one of the things that we would love and that needs to happen in the broad scale of things is that Scripture needs to come alive. And that is precisely what happened on this road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize who he was, but he gave them the reassurance and the hope from what was already in here. And their response was, you know, what does it say? That their hearts burned within them. As he revealed the truth, there was an inward response. And it wasn't just gathering facts or mere information. It affected them to the very core of their being. Verse 32. Thank you, Finola. Dear teacher, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? If there's going to be revival of any kind, even for those out there who were part of the church, Scripture is going to have to come alive to them again. Would you agree with that? In the sense of that the Lord does something with it. I'm not talking here about gathering facts. I'm talking about having an experience of it. I've asked the Lord several times for that. The closest I've got is toughen up. And so that's as good as I got anyway. You know, toughen up, Lord. Anyway, so that is another thing. An awful lot of study, which is good, and we do all that, but rarely does our heart burn within us. Would you agree? Rarely. That is such a powerful thing when it comes alive. I have asked the Lord several times for that. Lord, will you do that for me? And if he did, it would be a blessing to you as well, you know. So far, he hasn't seen fit. Number two. Number three. Having hope restored. I once talked to a young man who became a consultant. He was with us back in the old days of Hope. And I asked him, what's in a hospital situation, you know, because he was dealing with people who, you know, fairly serious trouble. In a hospital situation, what's the most important thing? And he said that patients have hope. He said you can do almost anything for anyone, but if they haven't got hope, you are in serious trouble. He said, you never, ever take hope away from a patient. What these men on the road to Emmaus, what they had was hope restored. Now tell me, who couldn't do with that? Even in here, not a mind out there, but there are so many people that are followers, genuine followers of Jesus, and they're out there on the road to Emmaus. And they do need to encounter someone. That's just a judgment. I mean, this is a good sense. They need to meet him in a fresh way. They need to have Scripture come alive. And they need to have hope restored. And the last thing is simply this. We need to be quick to believe. Often our problem is there. We believe we have belief. We're skeptical one day. We believe the next. We read a book and we're all confused. And then the experiences of the way prayers are answered. And all of that. Often we don't know where we're going or coming. And yet the Lord would say, be quick to believe. One of the things that I find very interesting about this is simply, he revealed truth that was already there. They weren't getting new truth, if you know what I mean. The revelation had already been given, in the Old Testament. What he did was, he walked them through it and gave them fresh insight and just amazing understanding of what it was all about. Desperately does our country need that. Desperately. And I would say at times, even in our churches, we have so much information. So much information. But to have a living experience like that, I'd give anything for it. But I am thankful to the Lord for what he has given me. But it shows me there is more truth in here than I have understood or comprehended. But I desperately need, as you do, the Spirit of God to come and actually make it real. I can have a basic understanding of it, and I can understand it, and we have people to teach us, and we're grateful for all that. But there's another level even beyond that, of where it is truth believed, but truth experienced and explained in a way we say, oh my goodness me, that blows our mind. That is what those men got on that road to Emmaus. They experienced a risen Christ. They had scripture come alive. They had their hope restored. And they knew their problem was that they were foolish and slow to believe. So they actually believed in. And once they believed, they turned around and went back in to Jerusalem. That is what needs to happen if we're going to see people turn to the Lord. There needs to be all of those things put together so that there's a fresh understanding, hope is restored, and people are able to believe and Scripture comes alive to them by the work of the Spirit of God. Is this passage relevant to us? I think in more ways than we realize. Is it relevant to our country? Absolutely. Do we desperately need a fresh encounter? Yes, we do. I have done what I have. I've done what I can do with what I have. But there's generations coming up behind me that need to encounter this in a different way so they can explain it to who's coming after us. But what's really important is I need to be quick to believe all that is written. Even if it doesn't work in my timeline, I still need to be able to believe it. That's what the Lord has given me to give to you as such, for whatever benefit it is. But that is as much as I got.